Here we go.
KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
The very best day is
ESPN 97.5.
Set no substitutes.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
JBZ, Joel Blank, along with the man that made 99 famous in H-Town. Before there was a JJ, there was a TJ, or a Trap J. That's my man, Travis Johnson. Travis is smelling all of his orifices in the commercial break to make sure that he's fresh and lively.
I think I forgot to put deodorant on after I got the shower.
Really. That's something that you really hate realizing after the fact, right? So yesterday, here, and again, because we keep you posted on our daily lives. So yesterday, we had to run some errands real quick. So Lisa and I grabbed the baby, and we're in the car. And I don't know if you noticed this or not, and you know I'm a Nike guy mostly anyway, but you also know that the NBA had a lot of Adidas clothing, and for a while the NFL did Reebok.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a gear whore, and I save all my gear. So I got a Packers dry fit on, right? But it's the Reebok version.
That's nice.
They it's don't nice. Breathe.
Oh, yeah, because they were thicker.
The stank factor comes on, like, so much quicker because they just don't breathe.
They didn't breathe like the Nike
ones. It may be dry, but it's dry and fitted to your skin to the point where it's going to perpetrate a crime.
Oh, you actually wore a true dry fit, like a...
used to be called NFL equipment.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I actually then tipped off Lisa ahead of time, like, hey, I stank. I mean, this is bad. I mean, I showered every this morning, but because we've been running around and stuff, this ain't good. And so then we got back to the house, and I got busy carving the pumpkins for the daughter and doing some things before, because I want to see the Packer game. So the first half's going really well. Well, now, you guys know I'm superstitious. I'm not changing. And I, like, got fired up. They got a score before the end of the half and waved my... And she gave me the look, and she walked over. She dropped the nasal passages right in the pit and went, And I went, yeah, there's a half to go. Hey, I'm not really feeling the change right now.
Mine does that stuff when I, she kills me all the time because when I sit there and watch TV, like even after a long day, like I sit, like she bought me a Lazy Boy chair that, so the days where I want to come in and instead of just hopping in the shower right away, I don't sit on the couch and get on my Lazy Boy. And I might adjust my set a few times, adjust my set. And
talking about TV?
Huh?
Talking about the TV?
No, I'm talking about my set.
Got it. Okay.
And you know, sometimes I forget and I go over there and I rub her shoulder. She's like, ugh, you've been playing with your tools? What you been doing? and it'd be rank. I'd be like, and I had to.
I'm
like, yeah, they are.
You always have to take it that. Look, thank God there's not cameras in the studio. But you had to take it that extra mile that we didn't need to go.
Hey, man, everybody, it gets hot down there. It's getting hot in here.
Oh, boy. Thank God the air conditioning's on because I'm a little concerned. Let's go to Ernest, who wants to talk about NFL referees. Ernest, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm good. Man, my question to you is, on seriousness, man. Yeah, you know, the referees, they miss calls. They make too many calls. They don't let the players play. I mean, it seems like we're about to start playing, tag football. But, I mean, these guys are so old. I mean, why haven't they got, like, younger people to do this job? Is it that much where they only trust the older people?
No.
Or like, going on with that?
Well, you know, Ernest, and we appreciate the call, man. Thank you, man, for joining us. But you know, they're actually the NFLPA and the NFL has started like a new initiative to actually get former players to get in there and become officials. And basically the jobs are paying, I'm talking about $200,000. Like the jobs are paying.
And those are just part-time jobs.
Yeah, exactly. So they're actually in the process of getting a lot of the guys trained up to be able to, you know, when they finish the game, if they don't want to go back to school or they don't want to go back to this or do,
that's interesting,
or go to regular work, they have an opportunity to do the officiating program, mm-hmm, and they'll put you in, they'll let you do high school games for about half a season. They'll put you in small college ball till you go to either, you can decide whether or not you want to do big, you know,
conferences,
big conference, top five, you know, five big conference, the Fab Five conferences,
big five, yeah,
the big five, or you want to do the NFL, and the jobs start at like $100,000+, and you can get up to over $250,000.
One of your favorite sports names was a guy from Wisconsin that was an NFL referee by the name of Jerry Seaman.
Jerry Seaman
did refereeing on the side, so to speak, making that big six-figure salary,
yeah,
and then loved officiating so much, refereed college games in the winter in basketball.
Yeah.
And I think his full-time job was, you know, these guys keep office jobs. I mean, they have regular jobs.
But these guys are, like, Ed Hockley's a lawyer.
When he's not pumping up.
When he's not pumping up. I think another guy, Chad, who's another guy on his officiating crew, he's a doctor out of UCLA.
Yeah, all these guys have really good jobs. And then, oh, by the way, their side job is paying them six figures. That ain't bad.
And I think that was one of the reasons why when they locked out the officials and they didn't end up winning, because it worked perfectly because of the Packers.
The Monday night game against Seattle, with the replacement ref.
Which worked out perfectly for them, because what the league tried to do was they tried to get it to where these guys only work the NFL job.
Yeah, that was their only gig.
And the guys were like, are you crazy? This is a two-day job. Like, why would I only work this job when I have, you know, some of these guys have private practices. Some of these guys have phenomenal other jobs. But this is icing on the cake. I get to travel on the weekends and make six figures for 17 weeks out of the year. That's phenomenal.
Can I, by the way, because Jerry Seaman was one of your favorite officials, it also behooved me to ask the question of some of the most outrageously funny, without being funny, names in the history of sports, because that's one of them. Yeah. But I know your favorite auto racer was Dick Trickle.
Dick Trickle, of
course. That was one that, you know, I thought some of your old-time favorite players in the NFL were guys like Sam Gash.
Yeah.
Harry Schwantz. No, Jim Schwantz.
Yeah.
Harry Colin.
Yeah.
Those are names that you just can't make up. I mean, you could make like a comedy movie.
Oh, just those names.
And just start throwing those names. That's like a Chevy Chase or one of those from Airplane, where you just start throwing those names out and you go, no, those are really names in sports.
Yeah, no question. Those are real names in sports, but the crazy part is those are actually easier to say than you get some of my African brothers, they play in the league, some of my Nigerian brothers, you'd be like, dude, how do you say your name again? And I think those to me are cooler than
Even in a college game, like, and I'm watching Wisconsin, Nebraska today, and this weekend, and they made say the names about three or four times. Like, what was his name again? Yeah, because you're not even close.
Exactly.
There's a lot of that goes on too, but that's funny. But yeah, I just thought I'd throw that out there. I mean, I've always wondered, and I guess we probably shouldn't go too far on that. But I mean, if a play was a very hard hitting play that went down between Jim Schwantz, Harry Colin. And Sam, I mean, that could be devastating for a broadcaster's career if you didn't mind your P's and Q's.
Yeah, of course.
Well, there you have it. Did you see the sideline tirade that Bill O'Brien had against his special teams coach, Larry Izzo?
Yeah. I mean, I laugh because in the end of the day, I said, man, if they, you know, because they were like holding him back. I said, if they let him go, Larry Izzo is going to drag Bill O'Brien on his sideline. And it's going to be Comedy Central. It's going to be everything. World star. It's going to be the greatest thing I've ever seen all week.
Yeah, and Bill O'Brien actually commented on it today and basically...
He actually denied it. He was like, I don't know what you guys are talking about. No idea. Then he went on and said, there's conversations that happen on the sideline. That's just the kind of the nature of the game.
Well, he also denied it by saying that it had to be somebody else. It couldn't have been me when they showed the video of it. But, I mean, he was just... I don't know. And the thing is, I'm trying to, I mean, was it because they had 12 men on the field?
I think so.
Is that what it was? Yeah. But even Lisa, we're watching the game at home, and even Lisa rewound it going, God, coach just absolutely lost his mind there on his own coach.
Because he's thinking back his mind, the seat is already warming up. You making it hotter for me?
By the way, at least people are starting to take notice of the fact. I said that weeks ago, and once again, I mean, why go anywhere else?
Yeah.
You know?
Somebody it's Carl Basie just tweeted in baseball, Dick Bowl.
Yeah, I saw that. I wasn't going to say it, so you did. But that's good. No, there's several like that. But, I mean, again, what's your favorite sports name that you probably shouldn't say, but you can because actually it's on their driver's license?
It's on their driver's license.
There you have it. We'll throw that out to you as well. We started the show by talking about Andre. You had some great memories of Andre and the fact that he's calling it a career. I'll throw this out to you. Should he be the first number retired in Houston Texans history?
Yes.
Okay. Of the guys that we put on our Fab Five of Houston Texans history, how many of those guys get their number retired?
Arian should get his.
I don't think so.
Arian, here's what you forget.
Body of work over career span, length of career.
But it's not. I mean, he's 8 years. He went to four Pro Bowls. He averaged 110 yards per game that he actually played in. And the only other guys to average more than him were Adrian Peterson, Walter Payton, Barry Sanders, and Jim Brown.
But the problem is those guys played a hell of a lot more games.
Yeah, they did. But, I mean, the guy played 8 years. And if you really condense it to say how many games he actually played in, I'm willing to bet it's really only six.
Does JJ have to get a new number to get it retired? Because 99 is already going up there for you.
99 is going up there for me, Jack.
Question. Does Arian Foster get his number retired? It's a question for you. I got questions. You got answers. We got answers. You got questions. That's the way we do it up until 4 o'clock, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, I got news for you. I told you, man. We're building it and they're coming. How about the fact that my sister's listening all the way up in the frozen tundra in Wisconsin?
There you go.
That's but all she heard about was chafing. Now, that's not the first thing you want to hear when you listen to our show. But, Trav, we do keep it real, and you do keep it more than energetically entertaining because of it.
Well, you know what? The good part about the frozen tundra,
yeah.
If I was cold, then they wouldn't sweat as much.
By the way, Nick, we have a new hashtag because of Travis's story. It's hashtag junk funk. because that's what, in a nutshell. See what I did there? In a nutshell, that's what we're talking about. Trav's wife is anti-junk funk. There's nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely not.
Cleanliness next to godliness, and avoid the junk funk.
They be clean sometimes.
Trav, you can't fake the funk on some nasty junk. Hey,
I like that.
You like that one too, don't you? See how we're working today?
But it's that
chemistry thing. I feel organic now.
You said feel organic.
I might do some gardening. No, I won't. Todd, you are listening in Clear Lake. You want to talk about a question that maybe not on topic per se, but it is a good subject matter because it's another one that I had again yesterday when I looked out my window. Todd, welcome to the show.
Gentlemen, first trip into the living room. I listen every day. You're a great addition to Houston sports radio scene.
Appreciate you, fellas.
Welcome to our living room, sir. You will move up quickly depending on the content of this subject matter, and I like it. Go for it.
All right. Well, I'm going to preface this by saying I'm a diehard Steelers fan, born and raised Pittsburgh. So you might put me in the garage now, but that's okay.
No, we beat you in the Super Bowl. We're good.
All right. You got that. Anyway, beautiful day in Houston today. Am I correct, gentlemen?
We get indeed.
About 20, 30 of these days a year.
Indeed.
Yes.
Go to the game yesterday, tailgate for 4 hours, spend $400 or $500 on the tickets and the parking and the beers and what have you.
Okay.
Get inside only to find out the roof is closed. The kid says, "Dad, why is the roof closed? Beautiful outside." People next to us say, "Oh, that's to enhance the crowd noise." And I looked at the dude, and I said, "Have you ever been to Seattle, Kansas City, Pittsburgh, Green Bay? There is no trouble with crowd noise there. There's a decided home field advantage there." I said, "If you need that damn roof shut to win a football game in this city on a day like this, you got problems," and I will hang up and listen to your commentary, gentlemen.
Todd, bring it anytime you like. You don't even have to ring the doorbell. Just open the door and come on in. We're going to let you in because that was a great call. Trav, you and I have talked about this before, and it is a conversation that we continue to have. As an ex-player, I asked from your perspective, did you prefer it open? And we covered the Kansas City game and the Steeler game. Again, the Steeler game, because he should know this, was one of the main reasons why the roof has never been open since, for the most part, is because everybody felt like they got too hot. The sun, because of the architecture and because of the planning with the boys on Kirby, they got the sideline with the sun instead of the opponent.
Exactly.
Which doesn't help. But I believe if it's 80 degrees or higher, the roof stays shut. Is that true?
I think they call it the 70-75 rule. If it's below 70, they don't open it. They don't open it. And if it's above 75, they don't open it. So it literally has to be 72 degrees outside for them to open the roof.
And so essentially, there's a 5-degree window to keep the roof open.
Yes.
Otherwise, those 5 degrees are worth $10 million apiece because the extra $50 to $100 million they spent to make sure they had a retractable roof is basically making sure they got a neat little gadget they're never going to use.
Yeah. Basically,
that's awesome. That's fantastic.
Basically. I mean, but everybody wants a drop top, don't they? I mean, but that's...
Well, they put suicide doors on it, too, but they're never going to use those.
But you know what? I blame the Houston fans.
Oh boy! Because didn't you say you liked playing with the roof open?
I did, but I blame the fans because the fans don't like. They don't. Our fans are spoiled here. They go to a baseball game, the roof's closed. They go to a football game, the roof's closed. If you open it, it's too hot. If it's too cold, it's too cold. Like, come on, man. That's the only reason why Mr. McNair has kept it closed and they put that 70-75 rule. He literally got 100,000 emails to his email account.
Because it was too hot.
This is something that we
covered this before, and we can cover this again. But this is something that I was passionate about. This is a home field advantage for you.
Yeah, not
if
here.
You play your cards right, people have to prepare for the heat all week. And then they know when they're coming into the game, you are conditioned because you practice in this environment, you play in this environment. Fourth quarter, when they are sucking wind and they are dripping sweat and they have to be, they're dehydrated and they have to be cooled down, you're rolling like a barrel downhill and ready to take it to them in the fourth quarter.
No
but
pressure.
Instead, you don't use it to your advantage. And then you paid all that extra money to get this stadium with a retractable roof and you don't use it.
They won't use it. I mean, I remember at one point you practice inside a lot. Like, and that's another thing. Bill O'Brien's adamant about practicing. I mean, where they practice a lot more inside now because of the turf on turf.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But I'm one of them guys who I used to enjoy practicing outside. I used to enjoy being in the heat and getting my ailments lubed up, per se. You know what I mean? As far as with what the heat brought to me. And not just that, I don't want to be on the turf all the time.
Now, Craig, there is a turf field outside at the practice facility, correct?
No, there's not. There's all grass. The turf
is
inside.
So the only turf is in the bubble.
Yeah, in the bubble. All the stuff outside is pure grass.
That's ridiculous, man. I mean, first of all, as an NFL team that has as much money as the McNairs have, in San Diego, didn't you have one turf outside too?
Yeah, we had one turf.
See, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Why can't they do that?
I mean, San Diego, we also had no kitchen, and we also had no bubble. We also had the grass.
You also had a practice field set up at the base of a mountain.
It is. I mean,
it's beautiful.
It is very beautiful, except for that year the sprinkler system broke and it flooded the entire field. And they used to have to bring the water in to try to water the grass. So we basically played on hay for the rest of the year.
Well, sounds like a scene out of Major League, if you ask me, looking for a rain out. But
exactly.
I mean, I just don't get it. You got all the money in the world. You want to have this premier facility. The stadium is beautiful.
It is.
Right? It's hosted a Super Bowl. It's hosting another one. You already went through the pallets and grass and all that crap. But the fact of the matter is, you could have a huge advantage. Now, you're lucky because you haven't lost a game at home this year. Right? But you haven't played the level of opponent that you've played on the road. But if you had a Minnesota or a Dallas or a Denver or a New England coming to Houston, wouldn't you want to have the leg up on them like you do, like Todd said, when you're going to a cold weather city and you got to play in December and it's freezing cold and you know that they got an advantage? Houston could have a huge advantage. They just don't use it.
But like I said, I don't blame the McNairs because I think if it was up to them, it's a reason why we had the roof open. I mean, it's the reason why we have a roof. You blame the fans. The fans continue to complain.
For a city? And their organizations and the people that say they constantly don't want to give in to the fans.
But they
it's still
do
about
give
a business and
they
it's still about doing what
they give into the fans,
yeah,
and they give
into
the business of the fans. Because they know it's a lot of people. I know a lot of people that go regardless, but then there's some people that be like, oh, it's too hot. I can stay at home and deal with that. Oh, it's too hot. My beer going to get too hot too fast. I used to hate playing with the roof closed because I swear I felt like the AC used to be beating down on the back of my neck during the middle of the game.
And did you have the pack of weenies on the back of your neck back then?
Yeah, not as much as I do now.
Okay.
But I think I had one weenie.
Okay. I hope it didn't get thrown on the field in Buffalo yesterday. But so essentially the question then is if you didn't mind it, was there any other guy, was there guys in the locker room that had a problem with it?
I mean, there's a lot of guys that talked about, like, man, when we're going to open the roof up, man, I'm going to tell you like this.
I'm saying the air conditioning. Did they have a problem?
Oh, yeah, everybody, because, you know, when the game, and towards the end of the game, you almost got like a hack going. You know,
a little sniffles.
Like the cough. You ever been to a water park, and by the end of the day, you feel like your chest
kind
is a little
weak.
Heavy?
Yeah. Yeah.
So by the end of the day, you got a little hack going. But I remember when I left here to go to San Diego, I almost felt like I hadn't played outside in years. You know, it's like that kid that had been trapped and grounded for years.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you get back outside. It's like I didn't under like it almost was new to me all over again to play football outside. Because, I mean, and even though we traveled places and played outdoor games and all right. that other stuff, but it still felt so new. Like, it felt like, man, this is what it's like to play outside again on a Sunday.
I saw a video somewhere of you running in slow motion to the theme of Chariots of Fire when you got that first dose of fresh air in San Diego.
I did.
It's a visual that we only can stomach a certain amount of times during the course of a regular broadcast.
Was my belly rolling?
You know what? I do see pictures of previous Halloween excursions with you and the kids, and I didn't recognize the guy in the middle because you were svelte back then.
Yeah, I was. I mean, I was still about 315 in that picture.
You had the overalls on, but you had the T-shirt underneath.
Yeah.
You still have to do the Wilfork. You remember that now.
I am. I got you.
But here's the thing. Now I'm concerned because if you got to do the Wilfork and we got Junk Funk and we got any kind of pit roll going.
We won't have Junk Funk. I just
if you got the pit bull and the Junk Funk, we got a lot of problems in the overalls. I'm just saying.
I won't have any of them. I'll ride with the.
This is just no stuff draw. I want you to ponder going into the future.
No draws and deodorant.
Now I go to that Duluth Trading Company underwear commercial just because I got all kinds of bad visuals now. Hey, we're going till 4 o'clock. Join the conversation. Rick, Brian, we see you. We're coming over your way. 713-780-ESPN. If you want to join the conversation via text or phone call, if you want to tweet in, you know our Twitter handles, at PacManJoel with a K, at TrapJ99, and at NoHitNick. We're here till 4 o'clock each and every Monday through Friday, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
All right, I'm not a sore loser. Ken's from Atlanta, and I knew Ken was going to call in. Don't go to him yet, Nick. We're going to make him wait. But I'll take my medicine, although it was a good game. We'll get to Ken in a minute, but we got a couple of you that want to chime in on what we were just talking about. It's crazy how you guys want to talk more about the roof than you do about Andre Johnson. But, hey, I respect that. I mean, it's what's on your palate. And once you cleanse your palate with a saltine cracker, you can move on to the next topic. So right now we're talking about the roof. Brian, you're in Seabrook. You want to talk about stadium. What's going on?
Hey, guys. Love the show. And I'll preface this by saying I think Andre Johnson's the best Texan in history. And if he doesn't make the first ballot Hall of Fame, I'll be really disappointed. But what I wanted to say was I can't believe that Bob McNair is letting the fans make the decision on the roof. I mean, where does he care? Like, he's not going to sell tickets? I mean, I'm not going to get season tickets for 5 more years. The wait list is huge. And I think if he really cared about women winning football games, he would make it the coach's decision on the roof every single game. What do y'all think?
I mean, pretty safe to say, though, that would be a home field advantage, right?
Yes and no. It depends on how the players feel as a whole. I mean,
okay, so take the fans out of it. Do you think the coaching staff would utilize it to make it an advantage for the Houston Texans, or should?
I don't think people think that far into it.
Well, but they should, right?
Yeah, they should. I mean,
our fantasy football guy could delve down 18 feet in a hole to tell you how deep you want to go in fantasy. Yeah, people should delve down a little bit
further. I don't think the players look at it like that. I think regardless, they say if the roof is closed, it's going to bounce around in there. But, you know, I haven't seen any true facts to say that the way it's built, it holds sound in. And, you know, kind of like Oregon, even though Oregon's outside, or kind of like Seattle, even though Seattle's outside, the way it's built to hold in sound and continue to keep that sound in. But I think the guys would love to have fresh air some days, because some of those days when the roof is open, the air is like a day like today where the air is crisp and you can get out there at noon and play a game. I think the guys would love it. But I think it come down to how many more times the coach going to do it than Bob. You know, you might have the roof open 4 or 5 times a year, you know what I mean? Or half the home games, you might have it open. I think that to me is enough for the fans to be like, okay, if they complain, then bump them. But at the end of the day, if it's late in the season, I think you should keep the roof open.
I just think it's an advantage for the team that they're not taking full advantage of or making full use of. Rick, you want to chime in on this? What's up, man?
A couple of things. The issue with the roof, you know, people that have played up north in open stadiums, it doesn't matter. If you're playing poorly, it doesn't matter. That noise isn't going to be there. There's not going to be any help or benefit to it. And the 100,000 emails that McNair got, the guy that called a couple calls ago said that, you know, he ended up spending $300-$400 for his ticket. They are the people that are making a difference. They're the people that aren't home, you know, season ticket holders. They're people that are going to, you know, bring their kids out and spend. And if they want to be comfortable, they want to be comfortable. I mean, I kind of get the point, but, you know, it really doesn't make it. If you're not playing well, the noise level isn't an issue. So, thanks.
Hey, thanks for the call, Rick. You know what? The bottom line is, if you want to be comfortable, go to your living room.
Yeah, I agree.
As long as you're not there with your phone, the junk funk. I mean, everything could be comfortable in that world, too. But, I mean, I just, again, at some point, look, and I come from a place
where they pay...
Where they pay more than that.
And where there is a 100-year waiting list for...
Yeah, and the waiting list for tickets is like you go through generations of your family.
Like people will them down to the next generation.
Impossible to get tickets there. And guess what? Three-quarters of those games are played in sub-freezing temperatures.
Yeah.
And they sell it out, and people tailgate, and they stay late. They come early. They stay late. They do it all. So I'm looking at this from the perspective of... From a Patriots perspective, let's put it in those terms. Patriots look for any possible advantage they can get against their opponent. Why wouldn't you use it to your advantage?
That's why they're the Patriots.
So what are you saying? So that's why the Texans never will be or just aren't now?
No, just, I mean, it's the culture of the fans. It's the culture, like, when you're not allowed to tailgate, if you're not allowed to turn on any food or...
Well, we got on that one that you need a ticket to be on the grounds.
To be on the grounds or... And those are Texas rules. You know what I mean? So those aren't on the Texans or Bob McNair. Those are, and I think if it was going to change, it'd take Bob and Cal going out there and getting that change to say, you know what, we need an old school tailgating.
I'm curious, Arizona opened that roof much?
It's
not as big an open space when the roof is open.
I don't think they open it as much either.
Especially
because
night
Arizona, I think at nighttime they might, but Arizona
at nighttime,
is
especially here lately, that these are just ideal opportunities. I remember games against the Colts in the last couple of years where it was like, I don't know if it was in your 5-degree radius, but it was like the most perfect fall afternoon in Houston, and you just get so depressed. And to be honest with you, El Jefe and Ben and some of you guys out there on Twitter are making mention of the fact that, look, the Texans aren't alone. This is also about the Astros. I will say this. I give the Astros credit, though.
They open it up every now and then.
They open it up more than they used to, and they also do a good thing about at night when it cools off in the later innings, they open it up too.
Yeah.
So they're a little bit more...
That's not allowed in the NFL, though.
No, because both teams have to have the same amount of time and under the same conditions. I get all that. But at least, you know, again, as a taxpayer, you are spending all this extra money, and there is all these millions upon millions of dollars to make sure that these roofs are retractable. And if you're not going to use them, then why'd you do it in the first place? Just to kind of look cool?
Yeah.
It's stupid. Well, I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous.
And you know what? And I hate to agree with anybody, but at the end of the day, they listen to the fans they got to. I mean, if that's the people who paying your... And I agree with what you said as well.
I'm a Cam Newton you. That's bullcrap.
But I agree with what you said as well as far as... If they don't come, somebody else will.
Heck yes.
If they don't come, because at the end of the day, yeah, it's Texas, yeah, it's hot, but they go to games in Chicago. They go to games in Green Bay.
And Trav, there's a reason why when teams are coming from a cold weather climate and they have to play a California team, they'll practice all week there because they need to make sure that they are conditioned.
Well, California, you got to get conditioned to the smog.
Well, I mean, that's your problem. But, I mean, overall, the heat, it's a huge adjustment.
But here, they don't have to make that adjustment. They just show up, and it's actually a better environment.
Harder to make the adjustment if you're a guy who's not used to snow and you got to play in snow versus someone who's used to playing in snow. And
not really. You know what? It's still a difference
in your conditioning, isn't it, Trav?
It's got to be way harder for snow.
Though. Not really, because you know what? What a lot of people don't talk about is the Packers actually practice inside during the wintertime more than they do outside, and a lot of people don't know that.
But they still practice outside.
They still practice outside, but they're inside a lot more than people give off the impression.
But even when they're inside, they leave all the doors open on the practice, and they try and pump in the coldness. But you're right; they do have some days indoors.
Yeah, but I not me, because I enjoyed when I got to go play in cold weather. It to me was real football now. Like when we got to go to Cleveland. And it's snowing, or it's, you know, just finishing snowing, it's real football. We got to go to Green Bay, and it's 15 below. That's real football.
Yeah, Jeremy just tweeted in, too. In the Northeast, fans come help dig the snow out of the stadiums. It's not just in the Northeast.
Yeah.
In Green Bay, and they actually pay them per the hour, but people bring their shovels, and they line up, and they help shovel out the stadium.
I'm not picking up no shovel and going to the
for
game.
For $10 or $15 an hour, you will.
I promise you I wouldn't.
Well,
I promise you I wouldn't.
And well, I don't think, that's because, you know, the only reason why you say that is because the only reason why you say that is because DonateYourSperm.com has been good to you. Other than that, you might pick up a shovel.
I'm just saying most Houstonians wouldn't pick up a shovel for an event like that.
Here's the thing, though. Nobody here in Houston was raised a true diehard Texans fan. When you leave the hospital in Green Bay, they probably put you in a Green Bay onesie.
Preach, sir.
Just like when you're in Pittsburgh, when they wrap every child born in Pittsburgh gets wrapped in a terrible towel. So it's so ingrained in them that it's saying, as a kid, if I'm a high school kid and it's a weekend or a Friday, because normally they probably wouldn't need clean out till Friday or Saturday, and I have no job and I'm a middle school kid. And somebody tells me, hey, man, we're going to give you $15 an hour to come shovel this snow on the thing.
High school kids?
I'm showing up.
Yeah, well, how many of these people are high school kids? Is it all high school kids?
It might not be, but it might be the guy that's a diehard fan that can't afford tickets and still want to be a part of the team to say, you know what, I'm willing to bet it's probably one guy over there that's been doing it for 20 years and has never seen a game inside the stadium, but he shows up every week, he shovels his snow during the wintertime, and he's grateful for it. And I'm willing to bet every Packer in that organization knows who that person is. And it's only a matter of time before they...
They get those people to games,
yeah, they probably get them to games, but I'm just saying, I'm willing to bet. It's probably somebody that just likes to go in there, put his headphones on, and go about his business shoveling the snow.
And I'm sorry to Nick, because he may be donating plasma too, but I'm just saying... We have a sponsor, and if it's lucrative, then you go with it, right? I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah, you go with it, but I'm just saying, I think you guys would be surprised at how many people would not do that as a Houston.
Hey, Scott in Deer Park said, us fat boys love the cold weather. That's a true statement, Scott.
Wow. And he got away with that because he's got confidence on a keyboard.
Yeah, no.
Because, I'm pretty sure he said
us fat dudes.
Right, but you guys played the game. He ain't talking about me.
But no, he's not talking about you. He's talking about us as in other big body individuals.
But I'm saying unless he is one too, but he would say that on the beauty of his computer. I don't think he'd say that in the
He could if he was a big guy.
Has he heard the Little League stories? I don't think he would.
No, but if he was a big guy, he'd probably say, us fat dudes love it. And I'd be like, yeah, you're right. We do love it. Even if he was here. Because you know what? I appreciate it.
If butts, candies, nuts. We already called that nuts conversation.
Even though he's a cougar.
Yeah, we know that too. By the way, how they doing? All right, so we know that they're venomous too. So, Nick, you just keep your Cougar fans calm down. We've got a couple calls coming up. Ken, I know. I see you. I'm getting to you. We've talked a lot about stadiums. We've talked a lot about Cam Newton. We've talked a lot about the Texans. We've talked about everything you want to talk about. So we're getting ready to hit the final stretch of the show. If you want to get in on it like Ken, give us a call, 713-780-ESPN, or give us a tweet or a text. Nick, I'm hoping you're checking the text lines because I'm not. We'll be back in just a minute. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
My boy Nikki V is listening down in Galveston. Got a lot of friends texting in. We've been putting together a good show for a Monday. Everything's been going good. Got a lot of positive vibes. Everything's happening. We talked about our heartaches earlier. I don't want to talk about it again. I have no choice. I told Ken, who is a Atlanta guy and an Atlanta fan, that I'd bring him in on Monday. And I already was very honest about what I thought might happen. But at the same time, we were in it to win it and had a shot. Did not win. Ken, welcome to the show. Welcome back. What's up?
Yo, what's going on?
Congratulations, my friend. You got yourself a victory. That was a hell of a football game.
There was. I was hoping to come, bogart my way into the living room today with a nice glass to sit here and bask in how my Atlanta Falcons did that thing on yesterday.
I got something you can bask in.
I know it's an exclusive company, so
Junk
I think
Funk.
I earned me a spot on the sofa.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? We can get you the sifter? We can get you the big cauldron cup. I mean, you deserve it because you guys won. But, I mean, look, I was afraid of Julio, and Julio didn't end up doing anything. But that was a shootout at its finest. That was fun football to watch unless you're one of us because I was, Man, I was riding that emotional roller coaster the entire game. Up until the bitter end, I thought we still had a shot.
Oh, you're not all the way. Hey, but what can you say? Matt Ryan, 9-for-11, final drive of the game. Hey, Muhammad Sanu, he's at least on this one Sunday, has earned his overpriced contract for a game. Yes, he came in the clutch.
No, you're right. You're right. And now we'll see. I mean, there's a lot of teams putting you guys in the conversation with the Vikings and the Cowboys, so that's exactly where you want to be.
Well, hold on. I know my team. I got faith in them, but I look at them with quiet optimism. Let's see if we have a letdown this Thursday against Tampa Bay just on the humbug. And if we get through that, then I start talking right about them.
And you know how Travis feels about Tampa Bay with his MVP candidate in Jameis Winston going up against yours and Matt Ryan.
Hey, who said that? Did I say that?
We've got it on tape. Yeah, we've got it on tape.
Yeah, look here. Anybody, look, the Buccaneers are still the Buccaneers, regardless of who they put at the front. Hell, it might be one day that cream sugar look good, but it's still going to melt.
Man, see, everybody, when they got their hate towards the teams in their division, they got their names for them, too. But the Buccaneers, I had never heard the Buccaneers.
Yeah.
All right, Ken, keep listening, keep calling the show, and let's change topics for a while because we don't play each other the rest of the year, so we'll see what happens. But good luck on Thursday against the Buccaneers, and again, like I said, tip of the hat, the Falcons beat my Packers. By the way, Green Bay cut the running back they got from Kansas City, Nail Davis.
Did they?
Cut him.
Didn't they trade for
him? Traded for him and cut him. Just done. Just came down, and they need running backs.
That must have just come down the wire, right? Or when did this happen?
I just saw it on Twitter, and then I saw it, and someone actually Facebooked it to me, and it wasn't at Packer Notes. I want you guys to get on that.
Man, please, I hope y'all are trolling him to death.
We're not kidding about this. If you're like a blogger about a team or something like that, like, look, Raj, our intern, and also is a huge Rockets fan. He's got a blog. I mean, I know a lot of guys. One of our writers, Mr. Bijani, has also got a Rockets blog. Look. Part of the deal is it's like our boy Kurt Lowe. You have dialogue back and forth with the fans. It's part of the reason why you do it, because you want attention for your blog.
Yeah.
But if you're supposed to be Mr. Expert and you've got all these expert opinions, but people question them, and then you go and you run off and you put your tail between your legs and you start blocking people, you're soft.
That's not the first expert we had that ran off and put his tail between his legs.
Who are you, Vegas Dave now?
Oh,
did I go and say that out loud? So here's the deal. I already said, at Packers Notes deserves all your hatred, and you should tell him to man up. But at the same time, look, I mean, to me, it's crazy that, but maybe CJ Spiller's coming through that door. There's got to be something really wrong with him, Trap, because first of all, CJ Spiller a couple of years ago was a weapon that everybody would have loved.
Yeah, no question. Well, you know what?
Seattle cut him. Green Bay brought him in and didn't sign him.
Yeah. During the break, I'm going to call CJ, make sure, see if he's okay.
Yeah, since we don't have another break for this show, that sucks. Yeah. CJ Spiller's out there, Cromartie's out there that could help someone defensively. I know that Lamont and others, after I threw it out there, that Cromartie was cut by the Colts, and he's out there that he could help a lot of teams with a depleted secondary, i.e. your Houston Texans and my Green Bay Packers, but that hasn't happened. So there are some guys on this trap. I meant to ask you this too. The trade deadline in the NFL, is it the most uneventful trade deadline in sports? No one, there's really nothing really going on.
Nothing going on, but then you saw today.
New England did do something.
New England hit us. This is the first time in a while that I think people have actually used that trade deadline, because I think normally if they trade anybody, it would normally be right before the season starts.
Yeah.
They ain't never do anything in the middle of the year. And it was, I mean, to be honest, it was funny that it actually
New England
happened.
Traded Jamie Collins, who arguably is one of their, what would I say, their best defender or one of their top two or three defenders?
He's one of their top two or three. I think what happened was when they got Chris Long this year.
Right, and which was played, a huge pickup.
It was a huge pickup for them. And Chris has played a wonderful, wonderful football for him.
On the cheap, by the way.
Very cheap. I think it made him expendable. Because now they know Chris Long because he's a former top four pick. They know he's not going to ask for a bunch of money because he already has a bunch of money. They know he's going
to
ask something.
He wants to win.
He wants to win because he's been somewhere where he hadn't won for years. And they knew that Jamie Collins was asking for Von Miller money.
Yeah, they're throwing it out there that he wants Von Miller money. No one really knows. Everybody knows Von Miller. No one really knows Jamie Collins.
Yeah.
But for the Patriots to dump out on the potential of having to pay him next year when he's under contract for this year, I mean, there's more to this story than just him wanting money, because they gave him to the Cleveland Browns, which is kind of like the F you on the way out.
It, that's basically what it is. Yeah. You got to look what they did with one of the which Jones was out there. Chandler, wasn't it?
Chandler Jones went to Arizona.
And they sent him to Arizona. You see what he said? Hey, man, thanks for not sending me to a terrible team.
Yeah.
Well, and
that's Jamie Collins is
Jamie Collins. He's not sending Belichick any thank you letters.
No, he got sent to the dog pound, but he's sitting in dog poop.
Yeah, he is.
Because they're terrible.
They are.
And they only got a third round pick compensatory, which means the end of the round. A compensatory third round pick in return. That tells me there's more to this story than just a guy that's going to want to get paid at the end of the year. There's some guy that violated the rules of Belichick in some way, shape, or form, and they decided enough.
I don't know if he violated. He just violated the rules of probably allowing his contract to get in the way.
Okay, can I tell you why I said that too? And I said this before I read this quote, but can I give you this quote that may lend credence to what I just said? Bill Belichick said, and I quote, "In the end, we did what we thought was best for the football team. There's a lot of things to take into consideration. I'm sure we could bring up a lot of points to talk about, but in the end, that's really the bottom line." That tells you there's something more to it, Travis Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's more to it than just you made your contract public. Because you got to think, how did we get Vince? Yeah, Vince eventually, you know, they let Vince go. He came here. But you remember how upset they were when Vince was holding out for more money,
mm-hmm.
which I think he well deserved the money that he was asking for. When you think about guys like not Marcus Stroud, Seymour. You think about
Richard Seymour. Yep.
When he wanted more money, what did they do? They sent him to the Raiders.
Ty Law before that.
Asante Samuel before that. Wes Welker, they didn't want to get,
where,
you know what I mean?
That's like, where they're trying to buck the system. Where everybody else says it's a business, they still believe that the Patriots way and the desire of players to play in that system, they're trying to supersede what everybody else is doing, which is realizing and treating players like it's a business. They're trying to take advantage in a negative way of the players. I just don't think it's right, but hey, they seem to be getting away with it.
Yeah, they are. They're getting away with a whole lot more, too.
No, we just got away with 3 hours of radio that seems like when time flies, we're having fun. That's what we just did. Hopefully you did, too. We would love to hear from you the rest of the week. Barry is in. You're leaving me.
Yeah. Hopefully Keenan comes and fills in on Friday for me.
We'll find out. So you're out the rest of the week.
Yeah, I'm out the rest of the week. I got to go. You know, we're doing an event, tailgating event at my Kia dealership in Tallahassee. So, I'm excited, man. I'm excited. I get to see the product for the second time.
I'm looking for a big bag of gear coming back my way. So he's going to be out of town in the Sunshine State, which means we'll just have to have more sunshine and rainbows coming your way with Barry Laminack and friends, along with my man Nick Sciarra. We are here every single day, Monday through Friday. We are ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.